This listener essay by Kevin O'Hara is entitled, My Lucky Shamrock.
Stand still, can't you? My mother complained as she affixed my school uniform shirt an Erringo bra pin adorned with a clay pipe and green ribbon. It's St. Patrick's Day, and look, shamrock, she cooed, securing a generous bunch behind a button. There now. She stepped back to admire her handiwork. A lucky Irish lad you are. Oh, yes, lucky me. Lucky me to be going to school decked out in a girly corsage so class bullies could blacken my two eyes with potato fists. Lucky me to be wearing a three-quarter-length tweed coat I called a jip, feeling jipped out of a normal coat by this relic from the old country. Lucky me never to miss early mass during the six bone-chilling weeks of Lent. Lucky me to be spending summer vacations visiting holy shrines while every other kid was going somewhere fun. Lucky me to be so poor that a young priest once proposed that our family should grace a billboard for the diocese's annual Catholic Charities appeal, though Dad would assure us that we were not poor, but simply rich in poverty. Oh, yes, being Irish was a lucky thing, like having tons of homework on trick-or-treat night. At school that morning, I slouched over my desk, trying desperately to hide my dainty spray of clover. "Sit up straight, Master O'Hara," scolded my fourth-grade teacher, Sister Maria Thomas. Her stern command straightened my spine quicker than a swift boot up the behind, whereupon she caught sight of my tiny bouquet. "What's that greenery you're wearing?" Her voice went soft, almost lilting, walking toward me. "Shamrock, sister." My face turned red as every head in the classroom swiveled to look at me. "Oh, dear God, shamrock," she swooned, clasping her hands to the white bib of her black habit. "Where did it ever come from, tell me?" "My grandmother in Ireland sent it to my mom in a letter." I turned all hot and itchy under her gaze. She fingered the tiny leaves. "Oh, isn't it lovely? So much smaller than the clover that grows here. Class, do you know St. Patrick converted to pagan Irish by using the shamrock's three petals to explain the Holy Trinity? Now, Kevin, walk down the aisle so your classmates can have a look. Imagine genuine shamrock from the Emerald Isle." I would rather have run the gauntlet of Iroquois that clubbed old Father Isaac Jogues and Brother Rene in Orrisville. Sure enough, the girls smirked at my awkward fashion parade, while the boys took to calling me St. Kevin of the Sissies. After this march of misery, I headed back to my desk, but Sister had another idea. "Kevin, you must show your shamrock to Sister Regina. It would please her so." I walked out of the classroom to an accompaniment of snorts and giggles and into the principal's office, where I found Sister Regina sitting meditatively at her desk. She was a kindly old nun of failing health, and we vied for the privilege of carrying her black satchel back to the convent after school. "What is it, child?" Her weak, watery eyes lifted themselves from her book of daily prayer. I shifted from foot to foot. "Sister Maria Thomas wants me to show you my shamrock from Ireland." She beckoned me to her desk while she touched the shamrock's delicate leaflets with thin, veined fingers. Suddenly she began to weep, and she reached into her deep, mysterious black pockets for a handkerchief. Now, nuns often got angry, and many even laughed and sang, but I had never seen one cry before. At home that evening, I told my parents how Sister Regina had bawled her eyes out when I showed her the shamrock. "I suppose the poor dear hasn't seen any in years," Mom nodded gravely. "She's a Leahy by birth, coming from Ireland as a young girl." See my jaw drop at the notion of nuns having any existence outside of convent, church, and school, she explained. "Most of the nuns at St. Charles are Irish." Boy, that was something to hear. Whenever I thought about where nuns might come from, I imagined them to have been hatched from black and white speckled eggs on Easter Sunday. But now it made perfect sense they were Irish, brought up in homes just like our own, with front rooms so chock full of holy statues and religious pictures that your knee would involuntarily buckle in genuflection upon entering. "I pray we can all visit Ireland some day," Mom sighed, in her own St. Patrick's reverie. "And when we do, I'll show you my mother's winter garden where her shamrock grows." Before getting into bed that night, I took a last look at the wilted bit of shamrock, now wishing I had given it to Sister Regina. Curled up under the covers, I reviewed the eventful day and recalled how the venerable principal had touched his shamrock as reverently as if it were a relic of her patron saint. I tossed and turned that long night, pursued by dreams of an emerald isle set out like a jewel in the middle of a dark wide sea. There were druids and snakes, of course, and a flock of barefoot pagan girls running after St. Patrick through verdant fields. By an ancient standing stone, they begged the bearded man from over the sea to tell them more about his three wondrous gods in one. In gratitude for his teaching, they offered him sally baskets lined in shamrock and brimming with speckled eggs.
Kevin O'Hara lives in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and is the author of A Lucky Irish Lad and Last of the Donkey Pilgrims, A Man's Journey Through Ireland. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.